All right, we're live. It's the Android Headline Show. This is episode 56. We're broadcasting live Tuesday, April 22nd. My name's Jeremiah. I'm joined by Nick and Alex from the site. Tonight, you guys want to say what's up?
What's up, everyone?
Good evening, guys.
So tonight, we got a packed show. A lot of stuff happened over the week. A lot of drama with OnePlus One and how they're handling the rollout of their new One device. HTC released the SDK for their dual lens API. Google I/O invites. LG G3 leaks. We got some first impressions of the Galaxy S5. We've got our review device in-house. Alex has that with him. So let's jump right into it, though. I mentioned OnePlus One and the kind of the debacle with that. But before all that happened with their giveaway, they announced that the OnePlus One was going to be heading to 16 countries, including the U.S., Canada, and a few other countries. The full list was, Austria, Belgium, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Hong Kong, Italy, Netherlands, Portugal, Spain, Sweden, Taiwan, UK, the U.S., and Canada. And it's going to be less than $400, which means $399. Because we saw a leak from Canada that it was going to be $3.99, and there the Canadian dollar is right on par, you know, with the U.S. dollar. So less than $400 means $3.99. Still don't have an official release date, but it's coming soon. However, if you want to get in on the first run, you're going to need an invite. And I know a lot of people were not really happy with that. I don't know. How about you guys?
See, to me, it doesn't seem like an invite. I mean, I know they call it an invite system, but the purpose of it is to guarantee that they don't run into another Nexus situation. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's basically what it is. I mean, it's kind of like the Google I/O thing. You're registering for a chance to give them $400 for a phone.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, how many phones come along that are that well-specced and are $400?
Yeah.
Basically, the Nexus once a year. So, I imagine there's probably going to be a lot of demand for this. And there's been a lot of hype for it, too. And they've been helping themselves in that arena, too. They've had a lot of social networking stuff, a lot of promotions, a lot of FUD as well, but, you know, it happens.
Right.
Yeah, the one thing that the OnePlus has over the Nexus, though, is the battery and camera, which I know you complain about every fall when the Nexus comes out.
Yeah, really, it's got everything over the Nexus that I can tell. I mean, unless you don't like the size of the screen, it's a half an inch bigger. I know that'll be a deal breaker for some people.
Well, the bezel's supposed to be pretty small because it's supposed to be the front panel is supposed to be smaller than the one on the Z1.
Oh, that's right. I remember they showed those. I forgot all about that.
That one's a 5.1 inch display, I believe, so it's going to be kind of like the G2.
I tell you what, I want this thing really bad.
So do I, man, and it's kind of tough because the whole invite thing at first left a bad taste in my mouth, but the more I thought about it, the less I was upset with it, just because it's going to save a lot of people being pissed off once the device launches, as opposed to people just being pissed off about the device pre-launch, which is what's happening now. People are kind of grumbling, but it's not people screaming, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, your website's down, I can't order it.
Exactly.
So it's going to end up being a good thing. And for $399, man, it's, if you don't mind a bigger screen, which I definitely don't, it's really tempting.
Yeah, I mean, it has everything. As long as it has all the bands for T-Mobile and AT&T's network, I think it's going to do well among, like, the enthusiasts like us. Not like the normal people that don't buy their phones unlocked or off contract.
Yeah, I'm really hoping
$400. It's still a pretty good deal.
Absolutely, and I'm really hoping for. I don't know if I care as much about getting LTE on T-Mobile's network. It would be nice, but at least the right HSPA bands and all that stuff. I don't know. Did you see that article that we threw out? I don't know, 2 days ago or whatever. It might have even been yesterday about the camera on this thing.
Yeah, they're comparing it to. I know it's a Nikon D3100 and a couple of other smartphones.
Yeah, they use the Find 5. I wish they would use the Find 7A because that's like the other one to beat. But holy cow! I mean, the low light performance and everything on this thing is just. It's sick. The color balance, the white balance, everything about it seems just phenomenal.
It was funny to me that they compared it to the Find 5 since most of them came from Apple.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit of a...
I think that's where they did it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's a fantastic device. The company did a giveaway, and they... really kind of screwed it up. They gave away, I think, 5 devices on their forums, and you basically had to be the 5,000th or 10,000th or 50,000th commenter in this forum thread. Well, their forums couldn't handle the server load and started duplicating post numbers. So if you're supposed to be the 5,000th person and all of a sudden you've got 70, 80, 100 duplicate posts, that's going to screw some things up. A whole bunch of people thought they had won. Well, 5 people thought they had won. For 2 days, thought they had won and hadn't. Because when OnePlus fixed all the duplicate posts in their forum... The people who were whatever number post was going to win got bumped. And so there were 5 more winners. And the problem was that OnePlus didn't say anything. They just changed the forum post numbers and didn't release any kind of statement about it. They didn't reach out to the winners or the used-to-be winners. They just let it go. And so... it was all over Reddit for 2 whole days. People are just pissed off about it. And they finally released a statement. And they made it right. All the people who thought they had won got a device. All the people who actually won got a device. They gave away a whole bunch of like t-shirts and stickers and, you know, just swag. And everybody, they ended up giving away more than they had originally planned. So it set them back a little bit. It's going to take them a little bit more time to get everything to everyone. But good on OnePlus for making it right. They kind of had to because the internet was freaking out, and if they hadn't fixed it properly, it'd have been the device would have been dead in the water before it even launched. So I'm glad they got that fixed.
Yeah, the last thing you need as a brand new OEM is bad publicity like this. That's gonna pretty much kill you, at least in the beginning.
I don't know. I was going to reiterate the invite thing, but I don't know. We already did that, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know, as long as they don't have to dig themselves out of a hole here.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been going after everybody with their marketing on social media and stuff, like putting up all those charts, like comparing their phone to the S5 and stuff. It's gotten a lot of people like upset about it. Like, it better be a really amazing phone, or else. I don't know. I kind of like their marketing. It's different from what everybody else is doing, and at least they have marketing, unlike some.
Which we'll get to. yeah, and no, I agree with you. They're a lot like T-Mobile. They're just pushing buttons.
Yeah. They're also a new company, so I mean, they gotta play around with stuff. They gotta learn the ropes, so to speak.
Yeah. But. They handle this, you know, everybody's going to screw up and companies make mistakes. You know, they've got more at stake than you or I do. But they fixed it. And so good on them for that. If they've got this amazing device with, you know, for a really good price, that's a good way to start things out. So we'll keep you posted on that as soon as we can actually get our hands on one or we have an official release date before that. So... HTC this week released the SDK for their dual lens API. So I don't know who's really excited about this one. The dual lens feature is pretty cool. I don't know how many developers are going to jump on this, but
I'm excited to see what they're going to be able to do. I don't think, well, like you said, I don't think there's much that they can do, really. I mean, maybe they can change some of the backgrounder effects, like before you can, you know, like the background, like black and white, keep the foreground color. Maybe see some more effects like that. But other than that, I'm not really sure what they can do. But I'm also not a developer, so.
NHTC is hoping that they can do something else, you know, something that the company hasn't thought of yet. That's why they're opening this up. Typically, OEM exclusive, you know, device exclusive SDKs don't really take off just because it's a limited market.
Unless you're Samsung.
No, and even then it doesn't. I can't tell you how few applications, if even any, were ever added to multi-window. And that's been around for, what, 2 years now?
Falcon Pro was added. Or
it's like one one app.
I think there are a couple other Twitter apps, too, because I saw it in, like, their change logs.
I don't know, like,
oh well.
Everything should have that at this point. Shame on Samsung for building it the way they did, for one thing. But, you know, you would think with a device, you know, as popular as the Note series, an SDK would be picked up, okay? And even then, it's not happening. So I'm not thinking it's going to happen on this. I don't know. We might get some good things out of it. You never know.
What I'm surprised, though, with multi-window is that there's always, like, these mods, so you can, you know, use any app in multi-window for
whatever device.
Yeah, but why doesn't Samsung just do that out of the box?
Samsung.
It would make more people use it and buy their phone.
Yeah, I would. Be nice. I would like to, at least for the dual lens API, I'd love to see some people from XDA take advantage of it, because I know if anything's going to happen, it's probably going to be from there.
And now, you know, now that that's available, they can jump in and start doing stuff with it.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to watch, that's for sure. Kind of see what comes out of that. But who knows if much will. We'll have to wait and see on that one. HTC, however, did make a move to hire a former Samsung marketing executive, which is a much needed move. They need it. They need to, you know, really make some strides with their marketing here. So, it was good to see this. Good to see them take this step. We've kind of beat this horse into the ground about HTC and their lack of marketing. And they've promised for several years that they were going to do a better job with it. But now they picked up Paul Golden, who's the former head of marketing for Samsung's U.S. mobile division. He recently left the company, so you know, he was looking for someplace to go, and HTC for sure can use the help. This might mean that HTC gets some of the like weird announcement stuff that we saw from Samsung, like with the S4 announcement. I don't know how much of a hand Paul Golden had in that, but he was the guy behind the quote-unquote next big thing campaigns for the Galaxy S3 when Samsung was hitting Apple really hard with those. So that was a fantastic campaign, and that's really what kind of catapulted or played a big part in catapulting the Galaxy line into kind of the hearts and minds of consumers, at least in the U.S.
And they're still kind of using that campaign, because you still see Samsung, especially like on Twitter and stuff, saying that the new next big thing is here, talking about the S5, and I think they even used it for the Note 3 last year. So it's one of those phrases that everybody knows and they associate it with Samsung. So see what you can do with HTC. I mean, they definitely need the help, because that whole ask the internet thing, I'm not sure how well that's going to work out.
And their Robert Downey Jr. marketing hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a nice thought, but I don't know that anybody really cares.
I mean, I get why they're doing the whole Ask the Internet thing. It's because, like, last year, we really liked the M7.
Yep.
While, like, you know, online or in-store and stuff, all you see is Samsung stuff, so that was the easiest way for them to do it.
Yeah.
But I just don't know how many people are going to see a commercial for HTC. Then they tell you, go ask the internet, so they go online and check out and search for the HTC One M8.
Yep.
I'm not sure how many people are going to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. But you know what? Anecdotal evidence for them, I've had a couple of iPhone friends that have bought the M8, so... Plus, we saw what they shipped, yep. Like 6 yep. million devices or something. Is that them? Or am I screwing my OEMs up? I think that's Motorola.
Yeah, that's Motorola.
Sorry.
Yeah, wish Motorola. 6.5 million, yeah.
That's okay. I'm happy for Motorola. We'll just throw that in there.
And it won't be that long until HTC gets there.
I think they said HTC is supposed to sell like 2.8 to 3.5 million each month. And, you know, with the decreasing from the months that, you know, the M8 launched. Which is pretty normal for a flagship. It usually starts selling less and less the further, the older it gets. But if they could sell 3.5 million a month, I mean, I'd be happy with that. I don't know what they did last year. Don't think they ever released numbers on that.
Not that well. If they didn't release numbers, it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, all it takes is one good... slogan, you know, one good
sure
deal.
Look at the next big thing, right?
I mean, yeah,
they started that or and Samsung stuck.
And then once it starts,
well, and the Samsung ads before that, when they're targeting Apple, you know, the people in line at the Apple store.
Right, right. And you just gotta throw money at it once it starts catching on. So that's what HTC is traditionally struggled with. So yeah, here's hoping, still, always, HTC. Google I.O. invites are going out, rejection emails are going out too. People's credit cards are getting charged for Google I.O. Tickets. So if you're in that lottery, the registration for that was last week, Tuesday through Friday. So... if you got a notification that you're going, you should see that charge hit your card soon. But Google also did a thing where they've hidden a bunch of invites in goo.gl web links. So you might be able to score one that way just by using Google's URL shortener and finding a link that'll let you buy a ticket. Kind of sneaky, you know, and Google's always good about doing some of this stuff and having fun with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know, have you guys heard about anybody finding a ticket this way?
I haven't.
No, but I don't know anybody that's going to I.O., so.
Right, right.
The only people that I know are going are press, and they already have their tickets, obviously.
Yeah.
Right, right. Yep. Well, and that's I was really amused by this, but apparently a guy, Andy, left a comment on this post on the site that he found one. So there's somebody. A bunch of the codes have reportedly been redeemed, but I haven't talked to anybody who's actually found one yet. So if that's you, drop us a line. Let us know. It's pretty cool. And you know, it's a developers conference, so if you can find a way to kind of track one of those codes down, good for you. Let's see what else we got here. We're blazing through some stuff tonight, and honestly, it's been a bit of a slow week overall. We were talking this morning, there wasn't a whole lot of news going around, even today. You know, app updates and stuff like that. There's just not a lot hidden now that the Galaxy S5 is out.
Yeah, we had the...
Everything we're really seeing is, like, G3 leaks and stuff. Which I still think is kind of early for a lot of those.
It does seem a little early.
I mean, they're saying a July announcement, so yeah, it's only, about 3 months away?
Yeah, it's just odd to be getting, you know, screenshots and things like that this early. Because I know a lot of the stuff for the S5 that we got was all fake crap, and that was, what, a month before it was announced?
Yeah. Even Evleek's got some fake stuff.
Yeah, like this looks legit. I don't see anything here that looks like a mock-up or, you know, a hack job or something like that.
Yep, so the G3, some of these leaks, the screenshots, a couple of screenshots surfaced, what, four of them?
Yeah.
Confirming
it's basically showing the home screen and
1440 display.
Yep.
Yeah. It's basically showing the home screen and notification shade. And I know a lot of people are going to say this, but they did kind of copy of what Samsung's been doing with,
they,
you know, going flat.
They completely copied what Samsung did. There's no way to mince that. Like, the launcher is bad enough.
They're also not the... Samsung wasn't the first one to go flat, though.
No. It's the combination of everything.
Like, yeah, because the quick toggles are all circular and green.
Yeah, if we're going to give anybody the flat thing, it's Microsoft with Metro. They did it at least a year before anybody else did it.
Yeah.
And then
Apple copied that.
Well, I would say Google was next with Ice Cream Sandwich, because really, everything in Ice Cream Sandwich is flat.
Yeah.
There was basically no gradients at all. You know, and then...
Yeah, it seems like they're going flat again with, like, their icons and stuff.
Yeah, the S5, at least with the notification icons, are a lot more iOS 7 because of the round and just the way they do the outlining of the symbol.
That's what I thought when I saw the notification, you know, the quick toggles.
Yes.
From the G3 is iOS 7.
Yeah, this is somewhere in between the S5 and iOS 7, it seems like.
Yeah.
I like the way it looks.
Because that's the S5 right there. I mean,
yeah, well,
I like the way it looks, but I wish I could just get rid of them all from there. You know, do the two-finger swipe.
Yes.
If you can on just about anything else other than LG and Samsung.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, I don't think they showed in those leaks, unless I'm just forgetting, did they show the second toggle pane? Or do you think LG is still keeping the stupid scrollable line on top?
They didn't show.
They're probably going to keep the scrollable line, because I believe there's only a settings button up there in the corner. I don't think there's anything else.
Yeah, I didn't see anything, but it's annoying. I hate that about LG's interface. It's bad enough with Samsung's, because all of their toggles in the second pane are completely useless.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, up there
I love the ones in AOSP. AOSP and HTC, they got it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, overall, the color scheme for this is spot on. They did a great job.
Yeah, I don't really like it. Yeah. I wonder if it'll change. I wonder if it'll change based on your background, kind of like iOS 7 does. Because the background is green, like the top part. And so are the toggles and notification shade. So I wonder if it'll change based on what your wallpaper is.
That would be cool.
The S5 changes a little bit based on certain apps, doesn't it?
Like, I think the bar does. Let's go into Google Plus.
I want to say it's only on certain Samsung apps, and I haven't seen an S5
probably
yet, so you have to be the one to tell me there.
It seems like it's all black, and then the icons are white.
Go into settings. Is it in there?
It's just the color of the top part of the settings, but in the Samsung App Store, it's just black. S Health, you can't even see it because it takes up the whole
screen. Yeah, they do the full screen on that. I swear I've seen screenshots, because I think HTC does the same thing with certain HTC apps, the top changes.
On HTC, if you change those accents there on the quick toggles, it'll be green like everything. Like in Blink Feed, you'll see everything green.
Yeah, like
part
that.
Of it, it'll be green. Like that.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
But yeah.
So if LG pulled that off for the G3, that'd be pretty exciting. Overall, I'm not a big fan of how that the screenshots, just the UI. I'm not a big fan of the way it looks. But I wasn't a big fan of the way it looked before, before they changed anything. I will say it's fast. So even if it is ugly, at least it's quick. There's no lag.
Yeah, it works well, too.
Real fast. It still is as fast as current flagships that just came out a few last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And those have an 801 processor in there. But, exactly. I mean, it's not that much of a difference anyways.
No, but still. And you'll talk about that on the S5. I won't even get into that stuff. But I'm just excited for the changes because LG seems to have proven that they can make good functioning software, even if it is ugly sometimes.
Right.
And I would say the G3 is definitely a contender for me this year.
Yep.
But there's no S Pen.
I don't know. I'm making myself get over it because otherwise I have no choice.
I just hope the G3 still has an amazing camera. Because the G2 has a really good one, and nobody really expected it from them.
Yes, it has a phenomenal camera.
I mean, I used to cover their mid-range stuff before the G2, and, I mean, it's a mid-range phone, so you don't expect a whole lot, but it was adequate for that. I never got to use the Optimus G, and then on the other LG phones I used for the Nexus 4, well, then it was the G2, the Nexus 5, but the G2 was really good. I wish they had kept that sensor in the Nexus 5.
Yeah.
Especially, well, Nexus 5 is OIS, right?
It does. It's just 8 megapixels instead of 13.
Yeah. It was also a little bit slower. That's where HTC, I think, beats everybody is their shutter. It's pretty much instant. It's even faster than the G2.
It's not having to capture as much data, though.
Yeah. That too.
Probably
even with bigger pixels. But we also saw the G3 Mini leak on AT&T.
So, yeah, and they haven't even put out the G2 Mini yet.
Nope.
It's been announced. It's just not anywhere. Same thing with the G Pro 2.
Yeah. The G Pro 2 is just in Asia, right? Southeast Asia?
Yeah.
I think it's just in Korea, isn't it?
I think so. I don't think it's gone anywhere else yet.
Yeah. I think we were supposed to get info about it this month. I think just said April.
That's another one that I would love to see. Especially the camera on that one and the software. I guess that would probably go hand in hand with the G3, but some of the stuff they did on there is just awesome.
Yeah, they got rid of the menu button and gave you a recents. Because even in KitKat on the G2, you still have that menu button, which is useless in the Play Store and the Play Music app. Most of Google apps, it's kind of useless now.
Yep.
And in all the other apps, it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
So that was a nice change, kind of across the board with Samsung, too.
Yeah, and the NotCo update is rolling out to a couple of G2s in like Germany and stuff. So as long as the carriers say it's okay, it should be here soon.
Beautiful.
Which that's probably the feature I'm most looking forward to in the G Pro 2 and the G3.
That's so far. That one might actually get me to use a security feature.
Right.
Because so far all the rest of them are terrible.
Yep. Nope, I set up Android Device Manager, so if my device ever disappears, I'll just wipe it and check out my lock code. I stopped messing with the lock code.
Totally agreed.
Yeah, it just takes up too much time. I used to use it on my Moto X because I trusted Bluetooth devices, because it's always connected to a speaker at home.
Right. And it's probably not good, if I lose my phone and 2 hours later realize it's missing, that's 2 hours that somebody could be in my information, changing my passwords or whatever, but
yeah,
I'll take that risk.
Yeah, to not have to press 5 digits every time I turn my screen on. No thanks.
Yeah, you gotta know pretty fast.
I'll admit it's a dumb move, though, on our part, to not have a lock code, but basically what I'm saying is if you want to steal my phone, you can get all my info. But have fun with it, because There ain't nothing there. So this G3 looks like a 4.7-inch display. The G3 Mini, rather, 4.7-inch display in 720p resolution, maybe an 8-megapixel camera.
Isn't the G2 Mini like a 4.5 or 4.7-inch display?
Yeah, and the G3 Mini is probably going to be the same.
Yeah, but it's showing here that's a 4.3, isn't it?
No, in the post on the site for the G3 Mini, it says 4.7.
Well, it used 4.3.
Oh, did we get that wrong then? Oops. Either way, 4.3, 4.7, there's not much of a difference there.
Yeah.
It's smaller than 5.5.
Yep. So if the other internals, though, the processor, the RAM, all that stuff stays the same,
yeah,
not a big deal. You know,
that would be nice.
It's a smaller device. Yeah. A lot of people are going to go for that.
Mm-hmm. I think they need to do what Sony did with the Z1 Compact is keep everything the same except for the battery and the display.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Even they put the 20.2 megapixel camera in the back, Snapdragon 800, 2 gigs of RAM. Is it 16 or 32 gigs of storage? It's still waterproof, which the G3 is also supposed to be waterproof.
And it should be, the S5 is, so.
Yeah. I just hope they don't put that annoying flap, even though I know it's going to be there for the charging.
Yeah. Just give us wireless chargers already, come on.
Yep, be done with it.
I don't know, this silly flap garbage.
Well, Samsung does it. You just have to pay, was it $90 for the back?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the wireless charger.
No problem.
Wireless charging is so just slow, though. Back. It's just not ready to replace a 2-amp wall charger.
Yeah.
It also depends on how big the battery is inside. I know my Nexus 4 was actually kind of quick, but I only charged it at night mostly on wireless charging. But it was kind of quick for charging. But it also wasn't a 3,000 milliamp battery.
I started charging my Nexus 4 with my Galaxy S4 charger. And it's super fast. So I think that wall adapter is either 2 or 2.1 amp output.
Yeah.
So it's super quick. And so wireless charging at 1 or 1.5 amps, even all night, it just... Yeah. Not for me. Not yet. It'll get there.
Hopefully it gets there soon, especially with everything going waterproof or water resistant, because those flaps are annoying, especially on like the S5. It brings up a big pop up every time. Make sure you close it or it won't be waterproof.
Yeah, that's frustrating. I wrote a post today though about some new wireless charging technology in South Korea, charging up to 40 devices from 15 feet away, so it's pretty powerful stuff. And they're looking to roll it out like a Wi-Fi hotspot. So like you walk into a Starbucks or, you know, wherever that happens to have free Wi-Fi, you're in an airport and they got Wi-Fi, they also have wireless charging and your phone just charges in your pocket.
I remember reading somewhere that I think it was Starbucks, they wanted to make like their tables wireless charging places so you can just put your phone down and it'll wirelessly charge. I don't know if that ever went anywhere or not, because like right after the Nexus 4 came out.
I do remember seeing that. I don't think it did.
Because that would be awesome anywhere. If they just built that into like every table everywhere.
Yeah, see, I'd be more okay with that being on a table. That wireless charger from 15 feet away thing makes me a little nervous.
Yeah,
what else is it charging?
I'm not one of those people that like freaks out about the airwaves giving you cancer or whatever, but that's, I don't know. That seems to be crossing a line of some sort.
Imagine walking into Starbucks and you have like your phone in one pocket and your tablet in the other, and they just start charging without even taking them out.
My pockets are a little warm. This is a little odd, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It must be the coffee.
Magnetic resonance is supposed to be safe, right?
I hope.
Silver cellular radios, but...
We'll see.
We still hear stories back and forth on all that stuff, so...
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So those were the leaks for the G3. And then the Galaxy S5, that's out. Alex, give us your first impressions on that. I know you wrote some of this stuff on the site, but what do you think about the S5 right now?
I've got the black one here. The back's actually not as bad as I thought it was. I still prefer the black one to like the white, the gold, or the blue one. But it's not quite as soft as like the Nexus 5 or Nexus 7 back. But it's also nowhere near as slippery as the S4 was last year.
And that's the improvement we want.
Yeah. I mean, like I said in my unboxing video, I don't sit there and look at the back of my phone all day. Mostly just the front. The fingerprint reader, I really don't like it. Because to use it, you have to hold it in one hand and swipe like perfectly center. You can't just hold it with the same hand and, you know, swipe across like you normally would. It's kind of hard to get an angle for this. What else? It almost seems like the HTC One is a little bit faster, like performance-wise. I'm guessing TouchWiz, but it might also be placebo effect.
You're not the only one that I've heard say that. There was several people that were quite unhappy around the blog Osphere, so to speak, and on Twitter and Google Plus that went back to the M8 or a Nexus 5 because the S5 is just laggy, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah, and the gallery is actually kind of fast. It's still kind of slow, but it's faster than it's been in the last few versions of Samsung devices. The camera is pretty good for me. I know Nick wants to do a whole lot of testing on it. But for me, I mostly used it outside so far. I took a few pictures in here at my desk and stuff. The selective focus is, it might be a little bit easier than the, was it a lens blur on the Google camera? Because you just have to hold it still. You don't have to like slide it up on the subject, keeping it, you know, center and stuff. The shutter is a little bit slower than the HTC One is, but also it's got 4x the pixels so that you can get much better resolution. I still think they should have put 3 gigs of RAM in here. I mean, I know unused RAM is wasted RAM, and I've never really had to close everything unless something was forced closing. Then I just automatically just close all the apps I have open. But I think 3 gigs of RAM would have been better. What I do like about the camera, though, is like some of the modes don't come on the phone at, you know, by default. So you can go into the Samsung App Store and download them. So if you want like their Photosphere, I think it's like surround shot or something. You can download that from their store.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. They made that modules and didn't include that.
Yeah,
like you got yelling about all the lack of internal storage, so they like pulled that stuff out.
You got animated photos, surround shot, support shot, and sound and shot that are in the App Store. We'll probably see more too, because I mean, you don't have to do a OTA to put more in the store.
That'd be cool.
Yeah,
because I know they've had filters in there for a while. I don't remember if that started with the Note 2 or the S4. It might have been the S4's camera that started the filters, but you can go in the Samsung store and there's like dozens of different filters and stuff like that.
Yeah, they have a lot of filters in here too. There's not a whole lot of modes right now.
Yeah.
This is the first time I really went into the Samsung App Store though. Other than like the Gear store when I was using the Galaxy Gear with the Note 3.
Yeah, they've redesigned it since you've been in it then.
Oh yeah.
It's much better.
One of the things that I'm not sure how I feel about it yet is like there's a ridge here, like the fake metal like side. There's actually a ridge before into the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's good for when you put it like face down on your desk so it doesn't damage the screen or anything. But I don't know.
This is the same way.
I didn't notice it on Note 3.
No?
I didn't notice it.
Maybe it's a little more slight, but I know I noticed it coming from the 2 because the Note 2, and I'm pretty sure the S3 was as well, just kind of felt like one flat surface all the way around.
Yeah, I had the S3.
Yeah, this has a distinct, I don't know if you call it a bezel or not on the side, whatever the heck the side thing is called.
That's interesting.
Where is my S3?
I don't know. But the S5, it just, I don't know, it looks so much smaller of a phone to me.
The S5 does?
Yeah. Like, compared to my G2. I don't know if it's because my G2 is so much screen compared to bezel. Because
I thought the S5 was physically bigger than G2.
It is. But looking at it on my desk, it just looks smaller.
Weird.
Yeah, it's got to be screen, man.
The G2 screen. Is a little bit wider. And the S5 is a little bit taller.
That's really interesting.
Okay. Of course, the HTC one is taller than both of them.
Yeah.
Well, more bezel. More HTC Lego on the front.
More HTC.
Well, more speaker.
Yeah, yeah.
That too.
That's really what it is. But yeah, I actually like the S5. I probably won't, you know, make it my daily driver. Like, I probably won't buy one. Because as far as battery life goes, the G2 still kicks both of these phones, but...
I'm really looking forward to seeing what kind of battery life you get into the S5. Because I've seen tests around where they're saying it's like tablet tier battery life.
And I'm on my second charge right now, and so far it's not all that good. About 12 hours off the charger, 62%, and about an hour on screen, and it's been on Wi-Fi all day.
Yeah, that sounds like about three levels.
The G2 is about the same. I think it's around 55% right now, and it's been on LTE all day. So.
Yeah, G2's still going to win that battle.
Yeah. That's probably the major reason why I won't switch to the S5.
And that's been kind of the major cry that I've heard with the S5 this year. If you've got an S4, if you've got a G2, if you've got an HTC One, yep. If you've got a Nexus 5, there's no reason to upgrade. If you're still sitting on an S3 or, you know, a phone that's, you know, your two-year contract is coming up, and that's kind of how you like to do things, the S5 is a, you know, good place to look to upgrade, but it's
the
not...
The only reason I'd probably upgrade to the S5 is when 011 brings out their battery, because I have like a 10,000 milliamp one for the Note 3.
You mention that every time we talk about the S5. You're like, I got to get this 10,000 milliamp battery for this thing.
Because it's awesome. I had it on the S3 and it lasted like a full week.
I was just going to say, you could go camping and never worry about it.
Yeah,
you
know, like 12 hours on screen. Like 12 hours on screen on HSPA, because that wasn't the LTE version.
Yep. Yeah, that's killer. Make the thing weigh a ton, but you definitely get a long battery life out of it. So that's cool, man. Well, thanks for sharing that. I was interested to hear, kind of, after reading some of your first impressions, I was very interested to hear what you had to say about it. So.
Yeah, I actually do like the look of it. I mean, the gold one, nah, but the black one looks nice.
Yeah, I still can't get behind the way the gold one looks.
I was surprised that they sent me a black one, because like every Samsung phone I've ever gotten for review has been a white one.
Whatever, the one that they have more in stock?
I don't know how it goes, but that's the one that they always send out as a white one.
Yeah.
Because the Note 3 was white, the S4 was white. Note 2 was the titanium gray from Verizon, so...
I tell you what, I can't wait till this gold phone trend dies. Please, just die quicker. It's awful. It looks so terrible.
People love their gold phones, man.
I think LG is doing a gold G3, aren't they? Because they already have a gold G2.
They're doing a gold G-Watch.
Yeah, that too.
I'm sure that's a gold G3.
The thing about LG, though, is like the back buttons are not going to be gold. Like on the gold and red ones for the G2, they're not gold or red. They're still black, while the white one there's like silver, so at least it kind of doesn't look out of place.
Yeah, the silver would look better at least.
Yeah, or even just red, because the red one looks nice. I wanted it.
They could be trying for a Nexus 5 style, you know?
Yeah.
So what else? This just hit today, and we'd heard rumor of it previously, but Google is officially selling Nest smart thermostats on the Google Play Store for $249. So you can go snag one of those if you haven't gone to Best Buy or somewhere else and picked one up yet. Now you can get them right from Google. Price is the same. I don't know. Have you, either of you guys actually used a Nest? My wife and I have been talking about it, but we haven't actually pulled the trigger on it yet.
No, I don't have one. It looks interesting.
Yeah, I don't have one, but I have a friend who has. It's not the thermostat, but it's the other thing, the smoke detector or whatever.
Yeah.
And he said it's really awesome because there was one day where he was at work and, I don't know, I guess his wife burned cookies or something. I don't know what the story was, but he gets a text message at work. There's smoke in the house, and he's like, oh, crap, and he calls his wife, you know, like.
Right, what's going on?
It's awesome. It's a nice little thing to have. You know, because who knows? What if something happened to her and that was the way he saved her, you know? That could have made it an even cooler story.
Right, right. Thankfully, yeah. His stuff burned down. But
yeah, absolutely. That's even better.
I'm sure Nest would have given them a good amount of money for that.
That's very right, possible. Right. Because
that's good marketing right there.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
It really is.
Samsung marketing.
All the reviews that I've read about the Nest, is it takes anywhere from 3 to 5 years to break even. And after that, you're saving money based on, you know, getting the thermostat set. And once it learns your patterns and you know, turns the temperature up or down when you're not home, you know, that kind of thing. Once those things start happening automatically, but it takes some time for the $250 investment. It's definitely a long term, like you bought a house, you're not planning on moving anytime soon. And you want to save a couple dollars a year after 3 or 4 years. So that's why I was really excited when we first bought this house. I was really excited about getting one. And we just never did it because it's all of a couple dollars a year until you've had the thing installed for, you know, 10 plus years. So.
Yeah. Well, what I read is pretty easy to install, too. I think they said most people can install in, like, less than 30 minutes. You know, it's just like installing a light fixture.
You have to pop your current thermostat off the wall and check to make sure that the wiring is compatible, though.
Yeah.
So if the current box, the current thermostat that you have is not, then you have to buy a new thermostat that's compatible so that you can change out the wiring and not use it to install the Nest.
So, if you have an older house, you probably have to buy two thermostats, you know, the one to make it compatible with the Nest and then the Nest.
Yeah, so if you're thinking about getting one, don't run out and just buy it or order it from Google Play. Definitely check your you can pull it up on the Nest website. I pulled it right up on my phone and held the little diagram right next to my thermostat on the wall and compared the two.
There you go. And just don't cross those wires because you're going to end up getting heat when you want AC.
Right, right. Middle of the summer and it's like 120 degrees in your house and you're wondering why your kids are passing out from heat stroke. It's because you screwed the wires up.
That's it.
Like, oops, that was supposed to be colder.
Sorry, kids. Going to the hospital. Whoops. I wanted to talk a little bit more about Project Ara, too, because we mentioned that last week. We didn't get into a whole lot of details from the developers conference. And so we've got a pretty good breakdown of kind of a handful of things that are, at this point, the important things to know about Project Ara. So you guys, I'm just going to kind of go down this list, but I thought these were really interesting points, and it really, for me, it put the project into perspective, really made me understand kind of where it was, what it's supposed to do, what it's not supposed to do. So at this point, Project Ara is still just a prototype. They don't have a working model. Everything that we're seeing in pictures and videos is just kind of a mock-up. The components, the actual modules, are going to be, what's it called? Forget the per electro-permanent magnets. But that's not something that they've built into the prototype yet. It's a relatively new technology that it doesn't require power. It's an electromagnet that doesn't require power, basically. But the prototype that we're seeing doesn't have that built in yet. We should have beta hardware that's actually working by next January is the goal. But we're not going to see a public release until later on in 2015. So we're still a good ways out. The really cool part about this, though, is it's going to be super cheap. The basic gray phone, which is just the shell, they're calling it Endo, just the frame that you can pop your modules in, that frame's only going to be $50. There's going to be a high-end version that'll cost about $500. But you can start with the $50 quote-unquote gray phone and just upgrade the modules as you want to or as you can. You don't necessarily have to shell out $500 for the high-end version right away. Google's partners are going to kind of determine what the actual cost is once the devices are made public. So we're still a little ways out from that, but can you imagine? You spend $50 for the frame of your phone and then you know, maybe you don't have $500 right away, so you upgrade a couple of the modules, and then, you know, a couple of weeks, a month, 2 months down the road, as you get the money, you upgrade the rest of it, kind of piece by piece. I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, it's sick. The whole concept is just it's phenomenal.
And it really blows my mind that we're...
Yeah, I'd be upgrading the batteries.
Go ahead.
I'd upgrade the batteries all the time, and Nick would upgrade the camera all the time.
Yep, and that's the point. I can't tell you how excited I am that this is actually happening. Because when I first heard about it, I was like, that's great. Never
gonna happen.
Exactly. It's a moonshot. Oh, good job, Google, for thinking of something crazy.
We thought it would be like a few years before we actually see anything working, but now they're talking about, what, January of next year that it'll be available for us to buy?
Yep.
Like the prototype or whatever?
Yeah, the beta hardware. We're also going to see an update to Android in December because right now Android doesn't support modular hardware. So,
already knew there would be an update like that time of the year.
Yeah. Now we have kind of a hint of what's coming with it. There's going to be several sizes, so there's going to be like a mini, a regular size, and a like phablet size device. So maybe 4.7 inches, 5 or 5.2 inches, and a 5.5 or 6 inch Project Aura device. Or the shell, at least the Endo shell. So I thought that was cool too. You'll be able to get your choice of different device sizes and screen sizes. The one that we're seeing now, the mock up, is the mid-size device. And a lot of the modules are going to be interchangeable between the three sizes. Obviously, screen size is not. So the screen's not going to necessarily be interchangeable. But the goal is to make as many modules as possible interchangeable between them. So if you want a mini-size device, a 4.3 or 4.5-inch device, if that's the smaller one they go with, you can still get top-of-the-line specs with the smaller screen. The modules and the shell itself will snap together using electro-permanent magnets, but then you'll actually be able to 3D print your own frame or like shell to fit over the endo frame once the modules are in it. So the electro-permanent magnets should hold the modules in place with no problem. But if you want to really personalize it, you can 3D print a shell for it too. It's something that they're working on.
Huh. That'd be awesome to see, because I know Google's been working on getting actual stores out in places. It'd be cool to see if they put that in their stores, and you could just like design it online and go in a store and pick it up or whatever, or just do it in the store too.
Yeah, that would be great. Design it online, send like, the order to the store, and then
it could be like,
it just lets you know when it's ready, so you can go pick it up.
You can be like, I just need a. You can be like, I just need to stop by the Google store and pick up the new camera for my phone or the new processor.
Yep, yep. And that's the other thing, too. The modules are going to be available in a store online that's going to be it's going to operate side-by-side with the Play Store. So you'll be able to order them online. Whether or not carriers or OEMs want to make them available in stores, you know, if they're going to sell the modules in Google stores or, you know, Best Buy, something like that, that's totally up to the manufacturers how they want to handle that.
It's,
I have a feeling that like Verizon and Sprint aren't going to sell these devices just because, I mean, well, you know how carriers are here. And then right now they're not full on GSM technologies yet, so you can't just pick up an unlocked phone and put it on either one of those networks.
Right, and that's a good point. And maybe they'll be able to talk some manufacturers into releasing or into making, you know, CDMA, LTE modules. You know, that's a partnership.
I think the bigger thing is just the carrier. You know, they got to test and approve it. You know, we saw what happened with the Nexus 7, how long Verizon took to approve that thing.
And we saw what happened with the Nexus 4 and Nexus 5, that Verizon just didn't get them. Because they screwed up the Galaxy Nexus.
That was a nightmare.
Yep. So that's it's a good point, man. It's something we'll have to kind of keep an eye on. We've got at least another year, and probably a year and a half before that's a concern, but something to keep in mind for sure. Let's see. So this is another cool thing. The modules themselves can be multifunctional, meaning your processor, the processor module could have a small backup battery in it. So if your main battery dies, you've got just a little more juice. Or if manufacturers can figure this out, they can actually build a small battery into each module so that each module is powering itself and you don't need a big battery module. How cool would that be? Like if you had each module powered itself and then maybe you had a small module for a battery just in case. But you, when you charged it, when you charged the device, you're actually charging each individual module. I don't know. It's kind of, again, it's going to be up to these manufacturers to figure out what they want to do with it. But I thought that was pretty stinking cool.
Yeah, it's another interesting idea to pile on the heap of crazy interesting ideas that makes up this thing.
Right, that are crazy interesting ideas that are coming to fruition, which is super fun to watch.
Yeah. I really hope that when this thing comes out, it just sells gangbusters. Because I know, I think last week when they had the developer conference, I expected to see something on the news on, I don't know, more than I did. And I was really disappointed by the reactions. It's almost like nobody knows this thing exists. Or maybe it's just so early that they're not like, you know, it's a year or so down the road. We're not going to bother with it yet.
I think it's a little bit of that, and I think it might be a little bit of, you know, like manufacturers being a little nervous about how it could change things.
Could be.
Because if all of a sudden your phone is like a desktop PC, you know, it's going to drive costs down. PC margins, PC and laptop margins are super ultra thin right now.
Yep.
You know, you got to sell tons and tons of them to make any money. And manufacturers still have bigger margins than that on their hardware.
Absolutely. What's that?
I was going to say, instead of like Samsung selling one of these every year, every 2 years for $700, they're just going to be selling, you know, like a display or a camera or a processor. Which I really hope they don't put it at $700.
Google wants the Project Aura devices to last 5 to 6 years is the goal.
Yeah.
So you could upgrade the modules as you can, but you only have to replace the whole, you know, replace the frame every 5 to 6 years.
Yeah. I was going to say earlier, unlike desktop PCs though, this is super simple. Like you don't have to know how many pins are in your, you know, port. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, however many things
Yeah, what type of RAM is compatible with your motherboard.
Yeah, I love building my own PC stuff, but if you know what you're doing, forget it. You're not going to do it. Doesn't matter how cheap it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what that really did was it drove costs down to where now you can get a solid desktop for $300-$400.
Yep.
Because it got to the point that you could build one for $300 or $400. And so why would you go to Dell or HP or whoever else and buy one for $700-$800 when you can build one for half of that? So same thing's gonna happen.
That's why everybody started going for laptops.
Mm-hmm.
Or selling laptops at least.
Yep.
I wonder if they'll do like a project like Aura tablet.
What are you said you wonder if they do a tablet?
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
I mean, yep. A lot of people are looking for a new Nexus 10, and because it's still probably one of the best tablets out there. It's been out there since 2012. And if you can build your own, there you go. Just put in your front-facing speakers and your 2560 by 1600 display. You're good to go.
If this catches on the way I think it will, the way Google thinks it will, you'll see tablets too in pretty short order. Because once manufacturers, like this is the next major shift. When the iPhone came out, there was a shift. Android originally was being built on a BlackBerry-type device without touchscreen support. And then the iPhone came out, and they just dropped everything, and because the market shifted. This is that. This is going to be the next shift. And so you'll start seeing tablets. Using this technology, we'll probably start seeing desktop and laptop upgrades and parts become interchangeable using this same kind of, I don't know if it's exact same, electropermanent magnets or how they'll do it, but this is going to be the next shift in the market, so I would not be surprised to see a tablet very quickly.
I mean, because right now there's like no tablet with front-facing speakers. Even Samsung has now gone to, you know, on the side, speakers on the side instead of on the front, which they used to have on all their tablets. And after a few...
I said it's better than being on the back. You know, on the sides. But,
but when you're playing a game, you're kind of covering up the speakers.
The Nexus 7s are pretty good, though, I would say, because of the way they put them on the sides there, so you already are cupping your hands around them as it is.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to put them on the back, make sure you design them like that. Because a lot of times, like, you know, like with this thing, I was so happy when they stuck it on the bottom. Because, like, on the S5, you got it back here again. I don't know, that's just, it's terrible. I don't know why anybody think it's a good idea.
It's also, like, such a small speaker on the S5.
Yeah, it's teeny.
I mean,
teeny tiny.
I haven't even used it. I just always look it up to speakers anyways.
Yeah.
Like, I know the speaker on the G2 is pretty bad. Although the ACC1, I actually use those speakers.
Yeah, see, I don't ever use the speakers on my phone, but maybe that's because I don't have an ACC1.
Yep.
But that was about what I wanted to hit on the Project RI. I just thought I wanted it'd be good to clear up some of that.
Do a roundup.
Right. Because there's another developers conference set for July. And then another one in September, leading up to the beta release of the hardware next January. And this is all assuming that everything goes as planned and works out the way it's supposed to. This project was originally slated for, I think, 2 years. This guy coming over from DARPA, and I forget his name now. I shouldn't. I'm drawing a blank on it. Let me see if I can look it up real quick. But he
doesn't matter, yeah.
Yeah, he signed a 2-year tenure with Google, specifically for this project, to build it from the ground up. And so, what they've done so far is what we currently have. But they're on a time clock. Like this is what he did at DARPA. He brought over to Google, and it's basically take this crazy idea, put a time limit on it, and then make it happen. And so that's what he's doing. As long as they don't hit any snags, you know, that's what we'll see over the next 9 to 10 months or so. But
yeah, because when Google sold Motorola, they actually kept, was it Project ATAP or something? I forget the name of that division.
It wasn't Project, it was just called ATAP.
Yeah, they kept them because they were working with the Project Aura guys. Mm-hmm. They just kept them at Google and gave them over everything else except for the patents.
Yep. So yeah, super excited about that. I think I've only said that 4 or 5 times in the last 10 minutes. So, moving on a little bit to some software and app stuff, and then we'll get wrapped up here because we've been going for a good little while. Google Play Spring Sale is here. We've got 18 premium games discounted in the Play Store. And I don't know what else you guys have seen, anything else.
That's it right now. Games.
Okay.
Yeah, I looked around for a while and before I threw the article together, and it's just these games, but it's a pretty sweet selection, especially if you don't have any of them, or if you just have a few of them.
They've added a 19th game, and I'm not sure which one it is.
Really?
I just clicked on the link, and there's 19 up there now.
Let's go find out.
Yeah.
If you don't already own Riptide GP2, you should.
The Room 2. Yes. That's an amazing one.
I've heard that it is.
Yeah, and everybody buy 10 million yesterday. Go.
I just bought 10 million today because I actually pulled it up. I was like, this looks interesting. And then I saw your review.
Oh, freaking greatest mobile game ever. Buy it.
Yes. Well, the Play Store now ranks reviews based on your. Based on your Google Plus circles. So you, Chris Chavez from Fandroid, a couple other people that I recognized were like, oh my god, this is the best game I've ever played in my entire life. So.
I wish I could review it again. I'd give it another 5-star review.
Yep. So I haven't played it yet.
Seriously, played it for like a year straight. I'm not even kidding.
That's awesome.
It's ridiculous.
So I shouldn't start it yet because then I won't do anything else.
It hasn't been updated since July 1st, 2013. So.
It's because it doesn't need to be.
It's
already perfect.
Right. Yeah.
My only complaint with it, though, I do have to say, is there's no Google Play Games integration.
Oh, that's extreme. I can't play it.
They didn't update it since that came out.
Yep. That update needs to happen. Maybe I'll email the dev and say, hey, I bought the game, but I'm not going to play it until...
Well, you know what? The fact that they have put it on sale, I think this is the first time it's ever been on sale.
Yeah.
At least for this cheap, too. And it's been a long time since I've seen it on sale. So, who knows? Maybe that's a sign.
Yeah, the dev might just laugh at me and say, I already have your money. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Just leave a 1-star review. And then get a refund.
Yep, that'll immediately get his attention.
And get your refund and... Then you say, nope, you don't have my money.
Yeah.
You had, but you don't have.
Not anymore.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'll dive into that. But keep your eye on that because, as we just found out, when we put the post up earlier, it was at 18 games. Now there's 19. So they'll be adding stuff. And they do this periodically. Put games on sale. Most of these are like 99 cents or $1.99.
I wish they'd come back with that 10-cent sale that they did a few years ago.
They did a 25-cent one, too, that was great.
Yeah, I got a ton of stuff for 10 cents, like Nova Launcher Prime.
Yeah.
I missed that sale so bad.
Yeah, and you got to look out for those, man. You got to look out for those because they do some really great ones sometimes.
I think those were like for 10 billion and 25 billion downloads.
Yep.
Yeah, they went. I literally think I bought everything on the sale. I was like, 10 cents, who cares? I'm never going to use this app, just buy it.
Right, right.
Then I had some Google Play credit left from the original Nexus 7, because they gave you like 25 in Google Play credit.
Yep.
I had like less than a dollar left, so I just spent it all on 10 cent apps.
Yep. And then the other two big things, this one was huge. That I wanted to talk about where the Android camera app is now in the Play Store. So Google has officially done that. We've been hearing that rumored for the last like 3 or 4 months that Google was going to do that. And not only did they pull the camera and put it on the Play Store for any device running, I think,
KitKat. It's KitKat.
Is it just KitKat? Okay.
Because the APIs they added in there.
Yeah, okay. So if you got a KitKat device, you're good to go. But the camera is vastly improved. It handles low light really well. I noticed a big difference. So
photo spheres are huge now. Yeah, they're like 50 megapixels.
Yeah, the photo spheres are it's a giant file. They also added lens blur, which is a cool feature. You know, that we saw with the M8, and LG has been doing it for a while too. But it'll blur your background and leave the image in the foreground clear. Yeah. And there's different settings for that, so you can be really blurry or just a little bit blurry, depending on how you want it.
Yeah, I love that feature on pretty much every phone. But like every phone does it differently.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I like
that Google has implemented it because the feature is really designed for like a stationary object.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even work on the Google Play or on the camera that's on the Google Play Store from, you know, the Android camera now, unless that you can get the object still or it's already, you know, it's an inanimate object. It just won't even capture it. So you don't waste your time trying to capture, you know, something that's moving and blur the background. But that was, I was definitely glad to see them finally drop that in the Play Store.
Absolutely. And I've had a lot of fun with it too over the weekend.
Yeah. Yep. and it, to me, it goes to show that Google is still listening, even though it's a lot slower than most of us would have liked. But they are making improvements to the camera app.
Yeah, that's all right. I've literally got no complaints about it now. So.
Yeah, the navigation to like settings and stuff is a lot better than it was on the stock Android app before.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because that one was just like, okay, now which setting do I choose? You know, after you long press on the screen.
Yeah, if you wanted to change a bunch, you had to go through the whole thing so many times before you finally got it. It was just, I don't know. It's nice for changing one setting, but if you had to do more than that, forget it. It was a pain in the butt.
Yeah, now it's pretty simplistic.
And then Hangouts was updated too.
Yep.
With SMS integration in the same thread. So SMS and Hangouts, a Hangouts conversation are integrated now in the same thread. And Android Police did a teardown of the APK like they normally do and found more Google Voice hints. So Google's still working on that also. Not exactly sure how that's going to work, but the UI update in the new Hangouts app basically makes it look like Hangouts on iOS with the your side of the conversation is kind of shaded green a little bit, and the other person's or the other people involved in the conversation is white. So Google seems to be leapfrogging. They release an update for iOS, the iOS version of Hangouts, and it gets a little bit more. And then they'll release a version for Android, and it gets a little bit more than the iOS version. And
the only thing I think they forgot to do was there's still no stickers. The iOS version has those giant like half screen stickers that you can put in instead of the emotes. And then doesn't the iOS version have voice integration or something like that? I can't remember right now.
It has Google voice integration.
Yeah, I thought so.
I'm not sure if they're actually calling it Google Voice, but it uses your Google Voice number.
Yeah, it's just a voice call, like the Facebook Messenger app. You can just make a voice call, which is not available for Android yet. And it's because they're working on integrating the service, the actual Google Voice service. Now, it is frustrating that you can make essentially a Google Voice call from the Hangouts app in iOS.
From what I heard from a few people that are working on the Hangouts like project at Google, is basically iOS is getting all these updates now because they aren't really going to get anything other than bug fixes like after the next couple months. it's going to be like all Androids getting all the updates. So in theory, the Android version should be better than the iOS one, probably by the time IO hits, because we'll probably see a big update then.
Yeah. And that makes sense. But it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's going to about wrap it up for what, you know, was on the agenda. What's new in your Android world? What do you guys got going on that you want to talk about? Anything fun. Doesn't matter. Phones, accessories, apps. What you got?
I have a couple cases for the S5. This one is one from Incipio. It's the stowaway. So, like, the back is, like, opens up, and you can put your card in there.
But that's awesome.
I can't get it out without taking the whole case off.
That's no good.
Yeah. I also have... let's see if I can get it up here. This, like, desk charger, it sticks to your desk here, and you got two 2.4 amp ports right here to charge from. And, you know, put the S5... USB 3.0 plug in there, and it charges real fast. I think that's it besides the S5.
What about you, Nick? What you got, man?
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
No, that's all right.
I think the only thing I've been playing around with is the camera stuff. That once the Google camera came out, I just started having fun with that. The lens blur thing, it's very finicky. But when you get good stuff out of it, it's really good stuff.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And that's one of the things I've been playing with too.
Yeah.
This week, as far as apps go, is just that new camera app. Because it's a big improvement. If you're running KitKat and you haven't downloaded it, yeah, you're missing out. Definitely go check that out.
I've also been using these icons, Crichton, I think is how you say it. It's like a pastel color icon pack from Victor. I forget his last name. It starts with a V.
How do you spell it?
I don't know.
Ah, you suck.
It starts with a V. But he's got a new one coming up. That's kind of like Google's Moonshine, but it's gonna have like 1,000 something icons in there.
Nice.
I got it because it was on sale for like 99 cents. Man, I just love it.
You know what? Speaking of icon packs, I have to say, I finally went through and loaded all my live wallpapers onto my gear this past week. Do you know how many I have now?
Like 700, man.
I have 46.
46 live wallpapers.
46 live wallpapers. I felt good about myself. It's, the awesome thing is now I have two devices I can put a live wallpaper on.
Yeah, you sure do.
that's 46. I can basically do two every month of the year, and I'm good.
Yep.
I wonder how much battery it uses up on the gear, though.
It's really no different at all, honestly.
I'm thinking it's the same on phones, because I never really noticed the difference when I was using live wallpaper.
Honestly, this is one of those stigmas that has just stuck around forever. It's like plasma TVs. It's like any of this tech that came out and had bugs initially or something, and then they iron it out pretty quickly, and nobody ever forgets about the bad stuff, even if it's gone.
It's just like when they said to use a black wallpaper or background on your phone because it saves battery.
Yep, it doesn't do crap.
Which it probably does more on an AMOLED display than IPS because, you know, AMOLED does individual pixels, but I don't think it's really worth it.
If it is, it's so negligible, it's not even worth doing if you don't want to do that. I can't tell you how many apps I've changed out for like the negative versions, the black versions, whatever you want to call them, and I don't notice any difference in battery life at all.
Nope. But we do know you have 46 live wallpapers on your phone.
That's right.
And gear now.
I thought he was going to have like 46,000 or something.
Right. So
now I disappoint you guys. I got to get cracking.
There might be a camera app, so...
Right, as we say, we joke about camera apps all the time, but you actually have way more live wallpapers.
I definitely do.
That's what's up, man. You almost have one a week. You only need like six more. You get one a week every
week. Ooh, you gave me a great idea. Thanks.
You can change it out every Friday.
I only got to spend a few bucks more.
Yep. That's good stuff. So yeah, I've been playing with the camera app. I also got this MPOW Bluetooth headset, which I've been impressed with. I've actually been using a Bluetooth headset to make phone calls, primarily for my day job. I'm in the car a lot, and my issue with Bluetooth has always been either the audio is crappy or it's uncomfortable to wear for a long period of time. And so I just haven't used a Bluetooth headset in years. So I don't know if Bluetooth, the technology has improved that much, or if MPOW just did a really good job with this headset. It seems like a combination of both, but you hardly feel the headset on your ear. It's super light. Battery lasts longer than I was used to with old Bluetooth headsets. And so now I'm that guy in the car talking to myself with a Bluetooth headset in my ear.
How is the sound quality?
It's all right. It's not bad. It's got A2DP support, so you can listen to music on it, but I wouldn't because the music's pretty tinny. There's almost no low end. But for voice calls, it's fine.
So no HD voice?
Nope, no HD voice, but noise cancellation, it works pretty well. Driving in the car, you know, with the windows up, the person on the other end doesn't have any problems hearing me. It doesn't sound like I'm in a tunnel or anything. And I can hear them just fine. So, and with the windows down, it's a different story, but that's if I'm on the highway with the windows down, I'm not talking on the phone. So, and then I also got this SoundFreak Soundrise Bluetooth alarm clock, which, again, I haven't used an alarm clock in forever. I just use my phone, but this thing's great because that actually has decent sound quality out of the speaker. It's Bluetooth. It's got a USB port on the back, so you can charge your – you can get rid of the extra cable and just charge your device right off the alarm clock. It's got an auxiliary port if you want to plug it in directly if you don't want to use Bluetooth. But it's a great little alarm clock. And in basically what it does is it takes whatever you were listening to last on your phone, be it Google Play Music or Pandora or you know the whatever audio app you like to use. It takes the last thing that was played and uses that for your alarm clock. Fades it in slowly. You can set the volume, so if you want it really loud, or I keep mine pretty quiet, doesn't take a whole lot to wake me up. And I'm used to my kids waking me up at 6 o'clock in the morning anyway, so I do have to make sure that I'm not listening to something crazy the night before on my phone. So I'll go in, like, that's one thing I do have to do is make sure I've got something that is not going to freak me out when I wake up in the morning. I do wish that there was an app built in, and I understand why SoundFreak didn't release an Android app for it. It's compatible with Android, iOS, anything that's Bluetooth, and it'd be a lot more work for them to kick out an app for it, but I'd love to see an app that worked with the speaker. That'd be super cool. But it's a great speaker. So I'll have the review up for that. The MPOW headset, that review went up, I think, today or yesterday or today.
I think it was yesterday.
Okay. But the SoundFreak, I'll have that review in. I think by the end of the week I'll have that done. So,
do you know how much they're selling it for?
The SoundFreak Soundrise?
Yeah.
I think is $100.
I bet.
I have to look. Yeah, I want to say it's around $100, maybe $120. They've got a bigger one I don't remember the name of that has – when I first opened the box, it was pretty cool because I thought there were speakers. Like, it's got this mesh around both sides and the front. The back is not. But I thought that there were speakers wrapping all the way around it. And they've got a bigger speaker unit, Bluetooth speaker unit, that has wraparound speakers. This one is just on the front. So I was kind of bummed when I actually plugged it in and it only sound coming out of the front. But they do have an option that's a little bit bigger than this one with speakers all the way around it. But pretty cool stuff.
Not bad.
But I think that's going to do it for the Android Headline Show this week. You should check out the podcast. This live hangout. We pull the audio and put it up for download. So you should go check out the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. We host it on Podomatic, so you can get to it that way too. But definitely check us out there. Rate us. Send us a note. Let us know what you think. You can find us, obviously, at AndroidHeadlines.com, but also on Twitter, at AndroidHeadline, without the S. Facebook, Google+. Google+ is probably our preferred method of interaction, just because we've always got conversation going on there. But definitely appreciate you guys hanging out tonight, man. It's always fun.
Not a problem.
Yes, sir.
Have a good night.
See ya.
See ya.